Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, her straight talk is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up, no BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push. Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Across the globe, we've been in a shelter-in-place mode for anywhere from 4 weeks to 2 months. We are experiencing situations that we've never experienced before. It's as if we're living on Earth 2, where the entire globe has just somehow drifted into the twilight zone. We all talk about how odd and strange this is and how we're trying to adjust. But let's face it, some of us are better at this than others. Some of us are really struggling and feel that we are sinking. And some of us are thriving and feel like we're swimming brilliantly, maybe even for the first time in our lives. So what is the difference? The pushy broad from the Bronx wants to know and wants to help you swim and not sink, wants to help you build up your resilience. Because I truly believe that that's what we need in order to survive and thrive. Why is it so hard for some of us to adjust? And yet for some, this seems easy peasy in a way. I'm not saying that we can handle the grief of it all. That is completely insurmountable, and it's going to take a very long time for us to come to grips with this. But I'm talking about what it's like to stay at home and to cut ourselves off for the most part from the world in terms of human touch and human interaction in the way that we know it. What are we learning about ourselves during this time? What have we gotten better at handling? Have we learned what we like more or dislike about things? Do we have an idea of ourselves a little more? Are we being a little bit more introspective? Or are we escaping into that gallon of ice cream and putting the covers over our heads? Are you more patient with yourself? Or do you find that you're losing your temper more often? Are you becoming short-tempered with the world? Are you becoming angry with what you see on TV? Are you more short-tempered with your kids? Or are you really appreciating the time that you have, the quality time? How are your relationships? Are they getting stronger? Or are they headed for divorce and falling apart? What are we truly learning about ourselves? And what are we learning about others? And our reaction to others and their reaction to us? We are constantly faced with protecting our lives, overprotecting our money and our livelihood. Will we be pressured into making a decision that might truly threaten our health if we find that we have to protect our money and our livelihood over our health? I think we all have a right to be the master of our own fate, but no one has a right to be the master of anyone else's fate. I want to find out how my listeners are reacting and try to give you some sense of understanding as to how I'm reacting and how I am coaching my clients. If this helps you, then great. But realize no matter what, we're all feeling all kinds of things surrounding this situation. And no matter what, it's important to be aware of that and to verbalize it, to process it, and move forward. So here is the first letter from one of my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I'm in my 20s and living at home through the quarantine. I've not been exposed to the virus, and I do take precautions when I go outside, you know, the whole mask and glove thing. I'm getting tired of this and really want to resume my normal life. I'm ready for the restrictions to be lifted. I feel sometimes like I just want to break out of this prison. I am becoming agitated and antsy over this. Any suggestions? Susan from New Jersey. Hey, Susan, thanks so much for sharing and being perfectly honest. Look, New Jersey and New York have gotten hit really, really hard, and the governors and the scientists and the medical doctors on the East Coast states are saying the same thing. It is not time to leave the house yet. I know we're all getting tired of sheltering at home, especially on the East Coast. And after all, I'm the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, so I'm here too. And although I'm considerably older than someone in my 20s, it still doesn't mean that I don't feel like I want to break out. I think we're all feeling this way because when one is told they can't do something, it's a normal and natural behavior for us to say, yes, we can. But then we have to come back and calm down and tell ourselves that, number one, we don't want to get sick. And more than anything else, we don't have the right to make anybody else sick, no matter what. And we all know if they all rush out there that it's not going to work and we're going to see a reoccurrence of this, that is a million times worse than what we have right now. I mean, that's just basic science and math and all of those things. And we all realize that. So let's find other ways to calm down about it. We know what the deal is. We know we can't do anything about it yet, so that we have to change the way we feel about the advice that we are given and the directives we are given. That's what we have to do. We have to change our mindset in order to be resilient and stay the course of isolation until they let us know that it is safe to start re-entering society, so to speak. So we must change our brains and basically reframe the way we think about things. So go volunteer if you feel you want to go out there. There are many things you can do. There are food banks. You can collect food. You can deliver food. You can do some volunteer work. Everybody's out there in a volunteer capacity. Go into your town. Go to your town's website and see what programs the town has that you can volunteer for. In every single town, there is a way to volunteer. And if you want to go out there, you can, of course, with protective gear. But you can make a difference. You can move around in a way that's helpful. There are also so many people that are hiring in so many different ways. I see people making masks. I see people delivering things. There's lots of stuff that you can do in your own way as long as you take precautions and you remember that the people around you and the people that you come home to need to stay safe as well. So change the way you feel about this. If you can't change what's going on. But a 20-year-old that is resilient and that has not been exposed to the virus can do a lot to help others get the supplies that they need. Take a look. Start with your town communities. Here's another letter from one of my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I'm a parent with two middle school-age children, ages 8 and 10. I'm struggling to have the energy to parent my kids which now absolutely is a 24/7 job. They are boisterous and sometimes a little destructive because they want to play with their friends and they're getting tired of staying at home. I don't know how much longer I can handle this stress. Help. Leslie from New York. The pushy broad from the Bronx can identify with this, not because I have children, but because I was a teacher for many years. My stint as a middle school and high school teacher lasted for a while. I was certified in New York City to teach secondary education, which was 7 through 12. So this is a little younger than what I would be used to, but I did substitute teach for a long time, and I've had 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds in front of me. I understand what this is like. When you teach, if you are a teacher, I've always thought that you had to be an actor. You had to be on. You had to put on a show in every classroom in order to keep a child engaged. I don't think that there's a teacher out there that wouldn't tell you that they have to be highly motivated, extremely enthusiastic, and energetic to get through to their audience. They also have to be creative and intuitive, and they have to have eyes in back of their head, and they have to really know the material in a creative way and really look for ways not only to teach, but to instill and to entertain and to enthrall their children. That's what a good teacher does. And I know this because I knew how hard it was for me day in and day out to keep students entranced when they walked into my classroom. And of course, now it's a little bit harder because they don't have people directly in front of them. But now this is the job of the parent. So if nothing else, it tells parents how absolutely amazing teachers truly are. And I think you can remember what it was like to go to school when you really had a fabulous teacher and you did really well and you got that A, as opposed to a teacher that was not a good teacher and you got a C. We all understand what it's like. We know what good teachers are and what it takes to be a good teacher. So yes, you have to rise to the occasion and make sure that they are engaged and enthusiastic. And that means that you have to be on, so to speak. But the responsibility is yours. You must make it your responsibility. If you are a single parent, I know it's sometimes extremely hard, but I know the teachers of the school are taking up some of the flack. So make sure that you're sitting there with your child so that you can be as enthusiastic about things as they are. If you're in a parental situation where there are more than one parent in the house, then I need you to take turns being enthusiastic if you think it's too much for you at this moment. But it takes work. It does not come easily, which is why teaching is one of the most undervalued and unpaid professions on this planet. Thank God for those teachers. I know that when I was teaching, it was one of the hardest jobs I've ever done in my life, to be that kind of spectacular teacher, to make an impression on a very impressionable soul. So yes, it takes work, and you have to rise to the occasion, and you need to do that. Because after all, they're your children. You want to leave them with something valuable. So there's no such thing as you don't know how much longer you can handle this. You did this. You decided to have them and take them on. How could you not? Find new ways. Take a class online that says, how do I teach properly? Or how do I learn to do what my kid is doing? That's what happens in this world. We learn to stay one step ahead of our child, even if it's just one step ahead. And sometimes teachers will have to do the same things too. They may not know the subject matter extremely well, but all they know is they're staying one step ahead of the classroom. And sometimes that's enough. So yes, it takes work and it takes effort, but your children do not deserve anything less than that. So get motivated. And then you know when you come out of all of this, how thankful you should be for the preschool, nursery school teachers and the elementary school teachers and the middle school and the high school teachers. God bless them all. Make sure you take care of them in ways you've never taken care of them before. You must engage. You must find ways. And there are so many tools online. Go and don't give up. Here's another letter about children from one of my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my husband and I are handling the kids as we are both home, and we have them now for about 5 weeks. They seem to be demanding what we call negative attention from us. They're fighting and complaining about everything just to get our attention. And it, of course, evokes a negative response from us. We find we're yelling a little bit more, we're frustrated, we're angry. We need help turning this around. Chris from California. Chris, your children are very good at mimicking you. They will do what they see. So if they are picking up frustration or boredom or a lack of energy, or they're picking up a sense of fighting, or they're picking up a sense of not caring or laziness, whatever you do, they will mimic. So guess what? Sometimes it's time for both of you to be on your best behavior, because you are with them all the time. So I need you to change your attitude towards them. And I also need you to find different ways to parent. Realize that maybe you don't know your children as well as your teachers do, because they see them during the day at different hours, before meals and during meals and after meals, and what it's like as they go from high energy to lower energy, and how to keep them motivated and sustained throughout the day before they're coming home and winding down and doing homework. Let's get more creative and more inventive with our kids. You can't just send your kids to the principal's office if they're misbehaving. You can't put them in a corner and say, "Time out," because they're still in front of you. You must discover new ways to do things. And then you have to talk about the conversation behind the conversation. Are they misbehaving just so they can get your attention? Sit them down and have a discussion. I need you to treat them as little people and not as children. Get them involved in what's going on in the household. Talk about positive things. Talk about their feelings. Ask them what interests them. Ask them to be involved in the scheduling in the day. There are many different ways to do this. Let's say you have started a morning routine. Maybe for the first hour, it can be what mom wants. And then for the second hour, it can be what little Johnny wants to do. And for the third hour, it can be what little Mary wants to do. And for the fourth hour, it can be what dad wants to do. Either break it up so a child has a chance to plan his own hour and everybody complies, so that when it comes to him complying with your hour, he feels like it is a team effort and not that that child is just being told what to do. Everybody's cooking a little more. I hope you're teaching your kids when you're cooking. Do other things like laundry or cleaning together so they can be responsible for things. Let them see what it looks like to live in a clean house, doing clean things and taking good care of themselves when it comes to hygiene. I've seen all different kinds of things. Cut each other's hair. Do some arts and crafts. And also with kids, you need more communication with them. Make sure you're talking to them and make sure you have the conversation behind the conversation. Ask them what's going on. Ask them to be involved. Don't just tell them what to do. And make sure that you're doing a lot less technology. If you are doing teleschooling, then you need to put some of that away afterwards and have breaks in between where you're doing things that have nothing to do with technology. If you're a puzzle person, great. If your child isn't a puzzle person, then maybe they want to do something else. Maybe they want to build something or paint something or do something with their room. It's a perfect time to see what's in your child's head. Bring that out more. A child is much less bored when they're involved in the household, when they're involved in the activities that make a difference, no matter how old they are. You can get them involved in a way that uses their brain and sparks their creativity and makes them feel like they want to act out a lot less. That's what teachers do. When I was teaching in a classroom in middle school and I had a behavioral problem, I had to find ways to divert that behavioral problem. I couldn't just stand there and yell at them and see if that would work. It never worked. I had to find diversions. I had to find new ways of teaching. I had to find a way to get kids excited about things so that they didn't have to go out there and take it out in a way that was misbehaving or mischievous or boisterous in a negative way. Remember that your children are your blessings. You've chosen them. You've decided that you wanted them, which means you can't just want them certain times of the day or certain hours of the day, for goodness sakes. Yes, it's going to take a little more time. You're going to have to adjust a little more. But it's worth it. They're worth it. Because the end result will be a million times better going down the road. And they will have gotten out of this, and you will have gotten out of this, skills and communication that will definitely last a lifetime. So there's no such thing as you don't have energy to parent through COVID-19. You must find a way. And for those of you that are still working and are working on the front lines, I feel for you so desperately. I really, really do. Then find other ways. Find a way to squeeze in the time like you normally would. Make sure that you're spending quality time with your children and that you are leaving them with people that will also find the energy you need them to find. Make sure that you are doing the right thing for your child, because they're relying on you to make that work. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. We're talking about living in the Twilight Zone for the past 2 months and understanding what it's like to be resilient and holding on so that we can get through this pandemic and come out the other side. I know everybody's talking about it, but we have to continue to talk about it. And there's nothing like a Pushy Broad from the Bronx to keep you going, keep you motivated. So I'm using a combination of my cheerleader and my Pushy Broad approach so that you understand it's important to change your brain about how we think about this. If we get too complacent or too lazy or turn around and say to ourselves, I give up, then none of this will help us. If our brain, our bodies can get in sync, we also have a greater chance of staving off that virus. We have to be healthy, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. We all know that if we're in a condition of deep stress and anxiety and panic, that we can be more susceptible to disease. We know that to be true. And we also know that if we rush back out there prematurely, it will not help us in any way possible. It will either endanger us directly or endanger our loved ones. So we must handle this in a normal fashion. We are getting so much information out there and it's all confusing. So again, the bottom line is you must do what's individually right for you and your health. And your health has to come first, because if you don't have your health, it doesn't matter what job you're doing. It just doesn't matter. You know, Governor Cuomo of New York is handling things really well, and he did turn around about a week and a half ago and say, if you are not healthy, if you get sick and you have to go into the hospital, it doesn't matter whether or not you have a business. Your health is the number one thing. Think about it. Just think about it. There are ways that you can turn a business around, even if it means starting something new. Just think about how many times in your life you've started a new business or started a new things or gotten a new job or turned things around when you thought it would never work out. As long as you're alive, there is hope. And that's one of the biggest mantras that Pushy Broad from the Bronx could ever tell you. As long as you're alive, there's hope. Which means no matter what, you'll find a way to make the money again. You'll find a way. But you're not going to be able to find a way if you don't have your health, if you're not on this earth anymore. So the priority has to be clear. Life is more important than money, no matter what. And the Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not understanding why you wouldn't think so. So we have to take one thing at a time. We have to put priorities in order. And that's the priority, no matter what. Our lives. So do what you can to protect your life first and those of the people you love. Here's another letter from one of my listeners, and I know we're all thinking the same thing. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I can see that I don't have a problem with physically distancing and even isolation. Why is it harder for some people than others? Lynn from Illinois. Lynn, I think it's a mindset, and I think that's something that we have to learn, and it gives us a perfect opportunity to learn right now, right here. If we change the way we think about something, then we change the way we feel about it, and therefore we change the way we act. Cognitive change breeds emotional change, which breeds behavioral change. If I think that isolation and physical distancing is directly related to loneliness and desperation, then that's how I'm always going to associate those things. And that would make anybody feel sad. But if I turn around and say that isolation is just being at home in the safety and comfort of my home so that I am protected rather than imprisoned, I must change the narrative in my head in order to survive. And even though we're physically distancing, we are not socially distancing, and we all know that to be the case. We are connected with our friends and our neighbors in ways that we've never thought before. We're reaching out and touching in ways that maybe we'd never would have if we weren't in this situation. I'm staying more in touch with my friends than I ever have before. And not all of them I was ever be able to see. They live all over the country. I hardly see them. So what does it matter how often? And now I'm getting to speak with them even more. Think about it. You are staying connected. We're not on desert islands and we're not imprisoned. At least most of us are not. Change the way you think about isolation. You're not alone. You're anything but alone. We have to change the narrative in our heads. That is the best way. And why are some of us getting along and handling this better than others? You know, people say if you're introverted, you like being home by yourself. And if you're extroverted, you like being out there with people. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx doesn't believe that it's relegated to introverts and extroverts. I think we're all a combination of both, don't you? Sometimes we're introverted and sometimes we're extroverted, and it just depends upon how we're feeling that particular day. But I think it all comes down to one thing. How comfortable are you with you? How comfortable are you? Do you like yourself? Do you like entertaining yourself? When you were a kid, could you play for hours on end by yourself? Do you remember those days? What were you like as a child? Could you sit there with a project and do it all the way through? Could you occupy your time in a fantasy world playing games or entertaining yourself with creativity and things to do? Were you happy with you? Are you happy with you? Do you always feel that you have to go outside yourself to look for happiness? That's why the Pushy Broad from the Bronx thinks that this is the greatest time in your life to do the greatest amount of mental growth ever. This is a surge for so many of us to become so much more psychologically sound. We can thrive in this environment and really get to know ourselves very, very well and decide whether or not we are sinking or swimming. And if we are sinking, let's find a way to come to the surface and start to float. At least come to float. And once you can do that, then you can start to swim. I want you all to swim. We'll be right back.
We've all had a push moment, and the Pushy Broad from the Bronx wants to hear some of yours. If you'd like to share your most defining moments for her Everybody Needs a Little Push segment, or want to ask a question for her No or Yes segment, or maybe you want to share your 10 minutes of tears moment, you can email her at ellen@pushybroadfromthebronx.com. We love reading all of your comments, questions, and push moments. You can be a part of an amazing group of people and get more access to the Pushy Broad from the Bronx by becoming a part of her email list. If we air your question or comment on the Pushy Broad from the Bronx podcast, for privacy purposes, we will change your name to protect the innocent. Or the guilty. We don't know. We're not judging. If you aren't ready to share with her just yet, or if you want more Pushy Broad from the Bronx goodness, join her Facebook group. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check out her website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com.
Do you want quick answers to things with no BS? Especially this time in our lives, it's nice to know that we can have quick answers rather than things that take forever to decide what we're going to do about life and the decisions that we make, especially right now. So here they are, quick answers to things with no BS. Here's my segment, No or Yes.
When you need a quick answer, no BS, ask the Pushy Broad and she'll say no or yes.
Changing our mindset about something isn't easy. There's no question. But it certainly takes a little bit of discipline and resilience. So in this No or Yes segment, I want to point out to you some things that I need you to be aware of. Remember, if you're going to try to change the way you think about something, the first thing you have to do is be aware of it. Otherwise, how would you know to change your mindset about it? So the first step is awareness. The second step is to verbalize, meaning talk about it. And if that means talk about it with a pushy broad, a coach, a therapist, a friend, a family member, or just talk about it to yourself. You gotta get it out. What are the big things we have to stay away from? What are the big no things that we should not be doing, even if we were doing them before? For the past 5 weeks, I have done episodes on what it's like to overdrink during during the coronavirus, or if we're overeating, if we're overspending, if we're gambling. All of these things are no's. We are beginning to turn our country around, and whether it happens in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or 6 weeks, it's going to turn around. For that we are sure. We have been through all kinds of things in our history of thousands upon thousands and millions of years. We will come through this, which means you need to be ready. So I don't care if you gained that quarantine 15, or you've spent a lot of money online, or you are angry or frustrated. I need you to turn around and be hopeful now. No to the extra food. No to spending money online. No to sleeping all day. No to anger and frustration. No to the things that are detrimental to your mental well-being. No more. You must think hopefully. No more negativity. We have enough negativity in a deathly virus. Your mental health must be 100% positive to help you through this. If you have suffered a loss because of a death situation, my heart goes out to you. I cannot tell you how sorry I am for your loss. But I need you to be healthy and I need you to stay well because you need to depend upon you and you and your family needs you as well. You need to be resilient and try to be positive. You will get through this one day at a time, one step at a time. Yes to making a journal. Yes to working on your compulsions and not making them so difficult for you. Yes to understanding that you have to change the way you think about things. Yes to talking to a therapist or a coach to really find out what's going on with you. Yes to sticking to the steps of networking, connections, meditation, and prayer. Yes to keep the focus of attention on yourself so that you can get healthy. Yes to practice mindfulness so that you're living one day at a time and you're staying in the present moment and you're not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. I need you to be strong for today. You have time to be strong for tomorrow when it's tomorrow. Yes, for understanding that you're not in this alone. Yes, for understanding that you are not powerless over what you can do to make a difference in your life. Make sure that you are changing your mindset. It is essential. As long as you're alive, there is hope. You have to bring that hope to the forefront and try to live it every single day. Let's go on to my next segment, 10 Minutes of Tears.
When you're feeling sad and kind of blue, rather lost and not really in it, don't stay angry, lost, or confused. 10 Minutes of Tears is certainly for you. Please cry, but only for 10 minutes.
The Pushy Broad from the Bronx has been doing the 10 Minutes of Tears segment, just like my other segments, for 3 years now. Maybe a little over that time. And the reason I do 10 minutes of tears, of course, it's metaphoric, but I want you to know that we all have things to be sad about. We do. And we do need to take the time to recognize them and to cry about them and take that 10 minutes of tears metaphorically, cry very, very hard about it, and then try to process and move forward. This is the first time that I'm doing this segment that I really do feel that maybe 10 minutes more would be a great idea. There are so many things, obviously, that we need to grieve here. The least of which is lost job or gaining weight or being frustrated and angry or feeling helpless with no end in sight or worrying about the future or constantly being frightened or feeling like we're powerless over everything. Those things in themselves make us want to cry and scream for 10 minutes or more or days on end. But the fact that we on this planet have lost so many hundreds of thousands of lives because of this terrible, horrible pandemic is something that we do have to acknowledge. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx, Ellen Stewart, is here to tell you that every single one of those lives was meaningful to me personally, meaningful to us on the planet, and should not be taken lightly in any sense of the word, and should not be glossed over with a mere 10 minutes of tears segment. My heart goes out to every single family member that lost someone dear to them. I cannot even imagine right now what that feels like. Every single person on the planet that is suffering in some way, all of the healthcare workers that have passed away in their heroic effort to save lives, every single mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, aunt, uncle, husband, wife, child, daughter, son, every single human being that has perished from the coronavirus is precious. Every single one. and we cry collectively for all of them together. They will not be forgotten. They will always be loved. We count them all, each and individually. Please take the time to cry for every single one of precious lives that are lost, and resolve that we will move forward stronger and more knowledgeable as we go forward. My deepest condolences to everyone that has lost a loved one. I am also crying with you. We'll be right back. Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Here's my last segment. I'm talking here.
I'm talking here.
I'm talking here. Listen. Learn. Pay attention. I'm talking here. Resilience as a noun means the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties or toughness. A synonym for resilience: flexibility, pliability, suppleness, plasticity, elasticity, durability, the ability to last, strength, sturdiness, toughness, strength of character, hardiness, adaptability, buoyancy, and even something the dictionary describes as bounce back ability. Do you have what it takes to be resilient? Do you understand what true resilience is all about and the kind of absolute strength of character it takes to endure, and not only endure, but to give suppleness, flexibility, and pliability to a situation? The ability to last, not only to survive, but to reinvent and to thrive. That's what this virus is teaching us. It is teaching us to look deep with inside ourselves and work out all the kinks. This is not a time to show weakness to this virus. This is a time to show it strength. We are stronger than this. We are stronger mentally and spiritually than this disease. And that is what's going to get us through. We are stronger than the conditions to which we have to endure. Staying at home, not being able to move the way we want to, not being able to socialize the way we want to, having restrictions put in our lives so that we can understand better how to keep ourselves safe. Please take the time to explore within. Make this a very introspective time so that you can make the most out of this. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is working on herself and working on all of my clients so that they are able to really honestly, for the first time in many of their lives, look at the things that they really want to change and move past, and finding out so much more about ourselves. I'm learning that if I don't put a structure in place on a daily basis for myself, then I really can very easily binge watch Netflix and binge watch my shows without stopping. I learned that if I don't get up and go into the shower and start my day as if I am going out to work, I'm good for nothing the rest of the day. I've learned for me that if I bring cake, candy, and ice cream into my house, then all I want to eat is cake, candy, and ice cream. I've learned if I start shopping online for things that I think are going to make me happy and take my mind off this disease, then all I have is packages that come to my house with stuff that I really don't need or didn't even want. Those are the kinds of things I need you to get a handle on. The really big things in our lives that we no longer need to mask who we are. To really work on what makes us tick. To work on the things that make us less short-tempered, less frustrated and angry. Because basically, the only thing that matters here is staying alive and helping our fellow human being stay alive. And if that's the case, what is there to be frustrated and angry about that cannot be worked out? This is just about staying alive and helping the people around us stay alive. The mission is much simpler. The way to get there is much simpler. The things that are really important now to us are much simpler than they ever were before. Don't complicate them. Don't make them more than they are. Don't worry about things down the road that you will find ways to fix. You can only find those ways to fix them if you're alive. That's the only way. I've spent so many years in addiction recovery. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is a certified recovery coach and has worked with addicts and alcoholics for 16 years. I am also personally in recovery, and I have 34 years clean and sober. All of the clients that I handle in recovery tell me that it is easier for them to stay clean and sober now because they are following practices and principles that mean a great deal to them, and there are guidelines to live by in order to navigate this very difficult time. So when we talk about people who are handling this better than other people, people in recovery just might be handling this a little bit better. We understand in recovery that we live one day at a time. No matter how tough the road is, we can't really worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because then we don't put our best foot forward and concentrate on what's right in front of us today. And even if you're not in recovery, I'm sure you've heard the words mindfulness or the word mindfulness as a good psychological approach to grounding yourself. If you've listened to the Pushy Broad, you know that my mantra is wherever your feet are, that's where your brain has to be. Live in the present moment and understand that living is so big and this is the most important thing no matter what. No matter what. We also understand in recovery that we do not have all the answers. I know some of us are searching to find those answers, but it's not always available to us. So we must let go and defer to the people that have the answers, the medical professionals and the scientists telling us what to do. Even though we may think we know it all, there's a great comfort in knowing that we don't know it all. And that's what we follow in recovery, and that's what I'm asking you to follow here in terms of how you continue to handle things. We are doing so well as a country, and we are flattening the curve. That's what everybody tells us. But ironically, we're flattening that curve because we're doing exactly what we're supposed to. We are isolating. We are sheltering at home. Take precautions as you go out there. Understand that we cannot come back like gangbusters and expect everything to be okay. All of the information is not yet in. It takes months and months and sometimes years to complete clinical trials, and we simply don't have enough research yet to gather all the appropriate information and to give us all of the facts we need to move forward. Take care of you. Do not feel pressured by the world to go back to a situation that you do not feel safe in. it is important that you take care of yourself and take care of your loved ones, no matter what. It's important that we take mental stock of ourselves more than anything else, or we will not be able to get through this. And should we have a second or a third round, and we don't know if we will, but if you are not mentally strong and you are not resilient enough and flexible enough to adapt, you will find it extremely difficult to move forward. Being healthy in mind and spirit makes us healthy in body and soul. We have to combat this in all fronts. Knowing that we will come out of it is one thing. Knowing how you will come out of it individually is another. Will you be sinking or swimming? Will you find this the greatest psychological accomplishment of your lifetime? Or will you be behind the eight ball when it comes to all the things you have to do to begin to cope with something that you could begin to cope with right now? By talking to people, by reaching out, by making an appointment with me during this time and to get us through this pandemic, if you go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, I am offering a free 30-minute session to help you combat the mental strain of COVID-19, to give you a head start, to give you a push. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx wants to be able to point you in the right direction to de-stress and to reshape the way you think about how things are going forward. Or if you just want to spend 30 minutes with me and tell me what's going on with you, I'll listen to that too. That's my gift to you to cope. PushyBroadFromTheBronx.com. Or you can call me toll free at 800-889-1757. And I'll do 30 minutes with you on the phone. It's more important than ever that we do everything we can to make ourselves whole. And to remember that we need to be that source for the people around us. We have to put our best foot forward. We have to be positive for ourselves, for our families, for our friends, and especially for our children. We have to rise to the occasion. It's not about maintaining the status quo. It's not about not handling it. It's about rising and swimming and thriving under these circumstances. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx wishes all of you a very safe, healthy week. And we'll be back next week to talk more about how resilient we are and how we cope with this situation. Stay safe. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
The Pushy Broad from the Bronx would like to thank her production team: songwriter, composer, musician, and soundman, Sam Goche; voice artist and announcer, Taylor Goche. Oh, that's me! And thanks to collaborative writer and assistant production manager, Richard Torres; virtual assistant and social media guru, Kimberly Studdard. Special thanks to Laura Kravitz, production manager, and Susan Herman, collaborative writer. And a very special thanks to Love Love Studios in Brooklyn,
Brooklyn,
for recording and mixing our music.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaches help people improve their performances and enhance the quality of their lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.